That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
And welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Got a brisk morning here in Laramie this morning. Let me bring the men on. Good morning, Brother Paul.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us, and I bet we're a little cooler than you are this morning. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we welcome the remnant as well for joining us here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, going out all over the world on WTWW shortwave and on the internet, as well as on the audio satellite, and you can even call in on your phone and listen, and we know many people do that. And so we welcome you this morning. Hope you have your Bibles with you. Hope you have some coffee. I've got a big old thermos here, and it's still good and hot. So where we go, who knows? We'll have the phone lines open up in just a minute. But John, you better start us off with a word of prayer, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that you've set aside for your people to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Father, we thank you for this time that we are to look at the things of the world and how they affect our people biblically, Father. We ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Remove the scales from our eyes and unstop our ears, Father. Guide and direct us this morning. Give us wisdom and understanding. Direct us to what it is that's important for your people, the remnant, to know and to understand. Father, there's so much going on in the world today. We know that there's a battle of good versus evil going on, but we also know that you are a living God, the God who keeps his promises, the God who hears the prayers of his people and answers them. And Father, we can see that. We can see the parable of the wheat and the tares being exposed before our very eyes. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that those that hate you and hate your people, those that come only to steal, to kill, and destroy, are being exposed as they stick their heads up boldly. We thank you that you are answering our prayers for Luke 8:17, that the things in the dark would be brought to the light, and that they would be shouted from the rooftops. Father, we're seeing that as well. Evil and corruption from decades ago is being brought to the forefront. Father, we ask for your guardian angels to be about those that are in this battle for you, those that are yours, those that desire to restore the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask for you to send your ministering angels to minister to those that may still be able to be reached in this 11th and three-quarter hour, those that may be able to come to repentance, to fall upon their face and to cry out for forgiveness. Father, we ask that you would expose to them the truth, the critical truth of immersion baptism, that they must die to their old life, go into that watery grave, be born again of the water and the Spirit, be clothed with you, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and have their name entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, continue to send confusion into the camp of the enemy. Cause them to turn upon one another and to destroy one another, to fall in the pits that they dig and be ensnared in the traps that they lay, but not knowing exactly how to pray in many of these situations, Father, we ask for wisdom. And Father, we ask that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray in accordance with your will. Father, we only pray with the authority that you've given us as a Son of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, a beautiful morning here, beautiful sunrise, a little brisk this morning here at the Radio Ranch, low of about 36 this morning. I think we are full bore into fall, and it's a welcome cool, I can tell you that. We've had a little heat, and John, I know you guys have had some pretty serious heat down there as well, and the time marches on, it does. We see the seasons change, we know what's coming. It's almost like that. It actually is like that in the physical realm. We should see that in the spiritual realm as well. When we read the Word, it tells us that, you know, we should be able to tell what's going on. We see the signs of the times. We know, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, that Christianity and true followers of Jesus Christ are in a battle. That the battle is good versus evil, the right versus left. We see that the left is just calling out all the stops, it seems like, especially in the political arenas. This Supreme Court nomination for Kavanaugh, in our political system, in our government, we have laws, we have rules, we have ways and means. There's a way that a so-called Supreme Court justice is nominated. He's nominated by the president. He comes before the hearings. He's questioned, and then they make a decision. They approve the nomination or they don't, based on law. And it's been like that for 200 years. And we see that even in that, that it's lawlessness. the lies, the outrage, that the false, baseless accusations that are being put out. It is different. We haven't seen this in the past. Certainly, we've seen opposition, but go ahead.
What we're witnessing is another page of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radical.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, if you look at the details of this thing, that this Senator Dianne Feinstein, who must be a zombie to still be alive, and I mean, I don't even know how many years some of these people have been in the Senate or the House of Representatives. It's pretty mind-boggling, really, to see. And then, you look at Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She's got to be a zombie as well to still be alive and serving her father, the devil, there. But, you know, the Senator Dianne Feinstein sat on this letter accusing Kavanaugh all throughout the summer and at the last possible minute revealed that there was a possible allegation of attempted rape. And of course, she's a psychologist at the University of Palo Alto in California. And then I think if you hear her accusation, it's that Ford claims that Kavanaugh and his friend Mark Judge were stumbling drunk and that the former tried to rape her until Judge interfered and she was able to escape. Well, even this guy, Mark Judge, that she says is the one who stopped this thing, denies the whole thing, says it's nothing but a lie, can't believe where she would have come up with this. And I think, you know, to be honest, I think that this Blasey Ford or whatever her name is, I think she understands that she got in deeper than she wanted to. She was willing to make the accusation because there's really no consequences, sadly, to the accusation.
Right.
But as soon as they require her to come into under oath testify, that's a different story. That's prison terms. That affects not only her, it affects her family and all of that. And you can bet that they're putting, I mean, she's probably hiding more from the Democrats than she is from the Republicans, as far as I'm concerned. And then if you look at her attorney, this Katz, she looks like Ted Danson from Cheers. I mean, and probably is a transgender or whatever, but obviously a Q. Obviously, she's a lifelong pro-abortionist, and that's what it's all about. In reality, what this whole thing is about is the threat to the power that they get through their God, Satan, the God of this world, through the innocent sacrifice of children, known as abortion. That's what it's all about. They are so deathly afraid, literally, that their power will be cut off if Roe versus Wade is reversed.
Amen. Amen. Saw an article that Planned Parenthood is looking at spending over $4 million, has been, and that this should be the total over $4 million to help the Democrats regain the House. Now, there's a political action committee, if there's ever been one. And why wouldn't they? Because that's where their funding comes from. And so they're certainly spending their money on the on their cash cow to keep their cash cow in there to get them back up, and because that's what that does. It is no Planned Parenthood. It's planned murder. It's planned genocide from Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, but you know, you look at the beginning of the election cycle for 2016. There was, 16 Republicans originally that went for that nomination. Jeb Bush, I think, in the first 3 to 6 months from announcing his candidacy, spent over $150 million. Maybe it was more than that. I think it was more than that. But anyways, so you know, you see all of these Hollywood elitists and stuff that they're throwing millions to at these midterm elections as well to elect these radical Democrats. And we're right at the same place we were, I think, for the presidential election. It's are you willing to bend the knee? Are you willing to [S2]
Yes. [S1]
Take the time to pray? Are you willing to fast? Or, you know, that's what I think God's looking for. But he's going to put us in a predicament where it doesn't seem like there's any way out. And only his grace, mercy, and compassion for his people, because of our prayer, our fervent prayer and fasting, is what's going to deliver us. And then again, it may be that we have to go much, much lower before we get to that point. Paul, you probably have some thoughts on that.
Talking to me? I'm just sitting here listening. you know, I was talking about this, listening to you guys. You know, probably the most destructive thing that ever happened, it happened in the religious world, and where they said the law of God is done away with. And this is what we're reaping right now, is total lawlessness and anarchy. And it's because there's this whole group of people you're talking about has had absolutely no resistance whatsoever from the pulpit or the home, or, I mean, and even I think a lot of my efforts have been misdirected in my early days of waking up, and we got to look at this correctly. I've been reading this book, The Divine Law, Digest of Divine Law by Howard Rand. I've read it before and I read it again. It's probably more exciting than it was the first time. But one line in there, nowhere has man been given the authority to make law.
That's true.
Amen.
Nowhere has they been given. See, and then he goes on in government. See, there's only two things that government's supposed to do. It's supposed to administrate God's law and judiciary, make judgments on God's law. That's all they are compelled to do.
We call them lawmakers.
Yeah, and that's blasphemy, really. I mean, I saw it years before. The greatest thing a politician lives under is that he makes law. He don't make law. That's an illusion. There's another thing here. Let me read this to you. It must also be accepted and recognized that there is no right granted man that enables him to make laws, for government was organized by God to function strictly in an administrative and judicial capacity and refrain from entering into business activities which are under law are designated to the citizens of the kingdom. So, you know, what else are they doing? They're giving money to farmers, their Social Security, all these benefits that come from this, and everybody is like a bunch of piranha. They're all grabbing for what they can get out of it.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
We got to look ourselves in the mirror. You know, it's always easy. It starts with me. It's where it starts, you know, and that's called repentance. That's change your mind. But this whole thing, I mean, I have an uphill battle on a day-to-day basis to... Nobody's even interested in God's law. They aren't even interested. They're just how they can survive in this business doing things the way they did it all their life. They want comfort.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, which is why the enemy has done everything to remove the Ten Commandments from the eyes of the people, even though the Lord was specific that we were to find it on our foreheads.
But worse yet, we let them do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I was in that Patriot movement, too, and the reason we never went any better than it did, they never used God's law. You can't argue with God. And they were just as much against God's law as everybody else was. They just wanted the monkey off their back.
Yeah, I read an article the other day, and said, in reality, what good is it to get these people to swear an oath on a Bible that they don't believe in? If they don't fear God, then all they're really doing is... thumbing their nose at them as they put their hand on the Bible and take these oaths, you know, for the...
But our people don't know how big an oath is. An oath is to death, actually. There's another story I just read here the day that they were putting this Suzette to they were going to put her to death for adultery. Well, anyway, they got two of the prime witnesses and interrogated them separately, and they found out that they were false witnesses, and they were put to death, because that's the way it works. You're supposed to be, if you go and set something up against them, you got to, you know, your word is huge. You know, all these false witnesses that we're talking about in this current situation, they're to get the judgment they accuse him of.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, then you look too. Is that why God gave so many scriptures on the dangers of lying? You know, that a liar is the same as a rapist or a kidnapper. I mean, it was all the same penalty, because, like, just like you said, it was so important that a man's word was his bond and the truth. So that there was no ambiguity when someone gave a statement, you know, and they knew the consequences. The consequences were whatever you accuse that person of. If it turns out that it's fake, then you receive that, you know, that penalty, just like you were saying.
Yeah, come back on you. See, that's why when you are in a place of judgment, it's a huge responsibility. It's huge, and you know you don't want to make a bad judgment. You don't want a death sentence on somebody who don't have it coming. I mean, it's very, very important, you know, and people's word aren't any good. Look at the divorce. You go to the altar and, you know, make it before God, and it don't mean nothing to them.
Yeah, that's true. Just move on to the next one. But, you know, here's what's interesting, I think, in this case specifically, is the fact that you have the accuser laying down the terms before she will come to court. Now, you try that when you get a speeding ticket or you must appear in court. You try to send them a list of demands before you show up in court to see what happens. It doesn't work that way. And, one of the oldest rules, I guess, in the judicial system is that you have the right to face your accuser, period. And that's something that they're trying to deny. Well, all they're trying to do, they're trying to get the accused to testify before her so that she can use whatever he says to collaborate her story.
Yeah.
I mean, these things they're ludicrous. They're totally ludicrous. And the fact that the Republican leadership even gives them the time of day just shows you where we're at.
Yeah. Well, it's like Paul, like you mentioned, it's lawlessness is what it is. That's why this country has been blessed beyond belief by God Almighty. But it's because at least the basis of the law was based on His word. And I know we've gotten so far away from that, but even that, even what law is left is just thrown out there. And it is lawlessness. You look at the headlines. You know, there was a lady killed somebody drunk driving this past week. I saw it. She's been convicted 8 times of this. And slap her on the wrist and just off they go. No personal responsibility whatsoever. None whatsoever. You look at the murder. You know, we have an entire part of our society. They wouldn't think twice coming in killing a wife and a couple kids, you know, to get $20. Saw one 2 weeks ago, you know, here this guy puts this grandmother in a headlock, all but rips her head off to get the $28 out of her purse, and just dumps her on the ground, on the sidewalk. You know, it is lawlessness that we're in, and we see it in just the physical, out on the streets, and we see it in the judicial, in the courts. And like you said, John, you would think that the Republicans would say, wait a minute, this is outside the realm of law. We have a procedure. This is what we do, and this is what we're doing. But they don't. And it's because there's not a dime's worth of difference between any of them, because we've gotten away from the law. You know, Matthew 7, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Now, he doesn't say those who follow me, those who are as compassionate as me, those who love, 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 will enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, those who do the will of my Father. and His will, His word, His law. And you know, that has been replaced by a misrepresentation of grace and mercy. And you can't have one without the other. And without that law, none of the rest of it works. And that's where we're at.
Yeah, one thing I think, one of the significant things that I think has been exposed through this presidency is the fact that this fake news thing, obviously, we know the protocols of Learned Elder Design. We know that one of the protocols was to take over the news and the information going to the people. And the fact that that's being exposed, I think, is significant. You know, for years, no one would even give you the time of day regarding the fake news issues. And now people, they're finally realizing that this monopoly that they have is what molds at least the dumb sheep's perception of what's going on, and people are seeking finally other news sources, and that's probably why they're trying to crack down on the internet more than anything.
Yes.
If you don't believe, in fact, it's even starting to be exposed now that Google and Facebook, all those things were government-funded. They're actually part of the DOD, I believe. And there was an article I read the other day, didn't have time to get into much detail, but basically Facebook is an offshoot of something that DARPA, through the Department of Defense, was working on, to gather as much information about every single person that they can. And if you wonder where all those billions and trillions of dollars that nobody knows where it's gone, especially, I don't know if you remember, but when Rumsfeld was the head of the Department of Defense, they did an audit, and there was, I can't even remember, it was an astronomical amount of money, close to $1 trillion or something, that they couldn't account for. Well, gee, I wonder where it is. Maybe in Salt Lake City, you know, where they built their super data centers. And, I mean, that's where all of the money that was supposedly to go on the war against terrorism was used against the American people. That's the truth.
Yeah. Well, John, we got a caller. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. I was wondering, you know, they did away with the death penalty, which is one of God's laws. And I'm thinking if they brought that back, we would see a whole lot less killing and robbing and all kinds of other things. So what? You're absolutely right. They forgot God's law, and that's what happened.
Yes. You know, we've mentioned it before that capital punishment is a great deterrent. It works not only to follow God's law in removing that evil from your land so that it can't propagate, so it doesn't continue on, but the example that it sets. You can bet that when they used to have hangings, when they had hangings, especially out west here, you know, here's someone that's been convicted, he's been tried, say for murder, and when they would have a hanging, it was a social affair. And people would come from miles around, and they would bring their children. They'd say, little Bobby, little Susie, you see that man up there? He killed somebody. Now, we don't do that. And you know why we don't do it? It's against the law. It's against our nature. But look what happens to you when you do this. And then it's against God's law. Absolutely. Remember where we read it in the Bible? Well, this is what happens. This guy didn't obey that. And when they pull that lever, and he drops, and his neck stretches, and his eyeballs pop out, and his bowels loosen, and he wets and soils himself, and he hangs there and twitches and kicks till he dies. That makes a lasting impression in a young child or a young man or a young woman's life. And they see, we are a visual people, they see that the wages of sin is death. And when that it was in our society, it was a great deterrent. It's not in our society today, and so there is no deterrence. you get these, you know, especially we've talked about these gang members, and these gang members that come in so many of our society, they don't care. They have no conscience. They don't care if they shoot an 8-year-old in Chicago and kill him. They don't care. You know? Yo, blood, this ya be ga doobity ga boo boo ba da ba ba da. They don't care. And it's not just the colors. It's the Caucasians are just as bad. Twofold more sons of hell. And yeah, so what? And it's the lawlessness.
They cover themselves too. The fact that treason used to be something that was feared. Treason meant death penalty. And if you look it up now, I don't remember exactly when it was. We talked about it before, but there was some point when the legislation, who are a bunch of treasonists,
yes,
whatever, they changed the penalty for treason. And if you look it up, basically the penalty for treason is a minimum of a $5,000 fine, where it used to be death penalty. Now, it can go all the way up to death penalty, but let's face it, these treasonous sons of female dogs, they changed that law specifically so that they would not be held accountable for the treason that's been committed for, I mean, as long as I've been around, I think that treason's been going on within the federal government. You know, you look at the fact that there's not maybe a handful of so-called poor or middle-class congressmen or senators. They've all become rich, mainly through inside trading, I would think. But, you know, you look at Feinstein and you look at Maxine Waters and all of those. They're all multimillionaires living in mansions in California. And I guess it's just like Paul says that the only law is God's law. And then we put these idiots in these positions and we call them lawmakers. That's the stupid thing. And that's what they do. They make laws. That's all they do. Infringe upon the people's freedom.
Well, they're parasitic. They live off us.
Yes. Yeah,
absolutely. Descendants of Cain, yeah.
Yes. Saw this, had Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Center, was a speaker at the opening of the 2018 Values Voter Summit in Washington, and pushing people to pray and to vote. And some stuff, I thought a couple of quotes that he had were pretty good. Again, no man's perfect, and he's not either as well, but at least that you know, this is getting voiced. He says, ladies and gentlemen, we're here for the sake of America. Those that'll criticize that we're becoming nationalistic because we want to restore America to a position of strength. And he says, so what? We don't need to apologize for that. And see, in the past, when that accusation would be made, oh, you're trying to be nationalistic. You love your country. He said, you know, people would say, what difference does it make? He said, it makes a world of difference. He said, to pray for, to vote for, and to stand for a strong America will make the world a healthier place. He says, when America is strong, the world is healthy. He went on and said, a morally and spiritually vibrant, economically strong America determines the well-being of the world. And I thought that was good to get out. You know, he is pushing for people to pray, you know, for America. And when you couple that with, I mentioned it before the program here, they had a Missouri rally. President Trump came for Missouri Attorney General Josh Hawley. And I think they filled up, they had a stadium that held 11,000 people. And I think that filled up. There were people in line at 2 a.m. the morning before. And President Trump came there. They had to turn 20,000 people away. More people, they, you know, had to be turned away than got in. And I think that is a better. I think that is a positive. But John, like you've been saying, it is. It's very similar. What's coming up, very similar to the last presidential election, in that the people have to pray. There has to be prayer. has to be. Guys, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I have a question for, well, whoever can answer this, or maybe you don't have an answer, but me and my dad got to talking a couple months ago about murderers and whether there's forgiveness for murder through Christ. You know, if a murderer repents and is truly repentant, baptized for the remission of sin, what happens? Is the murderer forgiven in the afterlife? Will he be welcomed into the kingdom? I had no answer. My dad didn't. We didn't know where to go. You know, I know it's a capital crime in the old days, you know, before Christ, and it was touched on with the previous caller, it was a capital crime. You were put to death to go meet your maker and answer for it. So what happens now with you know, post-Jesus or the ability to go to Christ or for forgiveness of sin? What happens now to a murderer in modern times?
Well, I think you answered your own question in a way, because God's law says that these capital crimes, that the penalty was death. So had we followed through with that, at least physically, that would have been the outcome. Spiritually, I that's a good question.
Absolutely.
That's a question I pondered
absolutely
as well.
Absolutely, there's forgiveness.
Yes,
absolutely. There can be forgiveness. David murdered a man, and he was forgiven. Yes, absolutely, there can be forgiveness. It depends on the individual if he's truly repentant. And that's the key right there, because though your sins are as blood, they'll be as white as snow. So there absolutely can be forgiveness for a murder, but that depends on the individual.
For true repentance, I would agree. But the thing I think we need to realize is that those that are of their father, the devil, those that are of Esau, I don't think they can repent. See what I'm saying? So that those who commit murder, does that sound viable, Paul?
Well, that's for an Israelite. There's people of the devil that have no ability to be forgiven, but I'm talking about Israelite people. They can be forgiven.
Yes.
No matter how hideous the crime is.
I would agree with that, too.
Yes. But, and again, that does bring up, like we talked about earlier, you have these members of our society today, and I'll say that, like the MS-13 gang members that have come in from other countries, they're other people, they're other races. Yes, they're other races. That have come in and they don't have our they're not part of our culture, they're not part of our upbringing, and to them murder is just a way of life. It means nothing to them. They have no respect for life, and you know, they are part of these creatures created to be destroyed, that there is no repentance there because they don't see that it's wrong at all. Now with us and our people, you know, we know, we're told, thou shalt not kill. But just like Paul said, yes, there is forgiveness, but there's also a penalty. You look at it, and Paul brought up the case of David. David killed a man. David committed adultery, and he committed murder. Now, that's two of the big top tens. And this man was a forerunner of Christ. But he was a sinner just like we all are. But he repented. He repented. But look at the life of David after this happened. He repented. He lost a son. And our pastor said that was nothing could be worse than that. To lose a son. As far as physical grief. And so David had this physical grief. He had to pay that penalty for that. And then you look at the rest of David's life and his family and his children. The kingdom, you know, was split apart just a generation later. This great godly kingdom was just split, ripped right down the middle. And so there are the penalty is still there. And so, yes, a murderer, if he came, say he kills somebody, and they come to Christ, and they truly repent, and that's not for us to judge, that's between them and God. But if they truly repent, then certainly they can be forgiven. You know, the woman that was caught in adultery that was brought to Jesus, grace was given to her. You know, the it was. But what did he tell her? Go and sin no more. And that is, thank God that we have Jesus Christ today to forgive us of our sins when we change and repent and return to Him. He's not there tossing it out, forgiveness for those that don't come and ask for forgiveness, for those that don't change.
And Richard, real quick, if I could ask Paul, do you know roughly or exactly, do you know where that is where David was forgiven for the crime of murder? Not to put you on the spot, if you don't know, that's okay. I was kind of hoping to look at it maybe a little later this weekend.
Where it is?
Yeah, he wasn't put to death. You know, when you look at that, he wasn't put to death. He was.
It's kind of a progressive story. If you read,
that was when Nathan the prophet came and told him the story, and then he realized that it was him.
Right.
And then I think that's when he said that God forgives you, but this would be the consequences of your sin, you know?
Yeah, I think
I just read that. Basically, he said you won't die, but you will pay for it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you go back into, I think it's Samuel.
Second Samuel?
Yeah, I think it's in Second Samuel there. But it is. It's, you know, when you read through Samuel and like Paul said, it's a progressive story. It is. There's so much, and not all of it is in chronological order. You know, some of this is a bit mixed up as far as in a timeline.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your time this morning. You helped us shed some light on it. I will look for that progressive story about David and his forgiveness for that crime. So thank you so much. Y'all have a great morning.
Sure.
Thanks for the show.
Sure.
I enjoy it every weekend.
All right, sir. Thank you. You know, I think that also gives us some insight into the Psalms. You know, when you read through the Psalms, the heartfeltness there, David understood forgiveness. He understood forgiveness. You bump up into the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, who persecuted Christians. It wouldn't be far wrong, I think, to say that he probably was involved in the murder of Christians. He sure stood there,
absolutely,
complacent when they stoned Stephen. Held the coats, the Bible tells us. I mean, this is not made up stuff. This is what the Word tells us. This isn't, you know, reading or writing something into the understanding of the Word. And he was forgiven. And he even writes later on, when you read the writings, he said, you know, he was, when it came to sinners, he was chief of all, worst of all. He had been forgiven much, and that's why he gave so much. That is why he had such dedication. And we see the same thing with Paul.
Wasn't Paul crucified upside down?
I believe so.
You see, and I think that's part of what you reap for that persecution too. I mean, it's always with you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You do reap, and it's forever. But you come out on the other side white as snow.
Yes. Yes. The wages of sin is death. That is still there. We can certainly be forgiven. We can.
Some encouraging things I think that are going on in today's day and age is I watched a short video of Matt Mattis, who's the I think the head of the Department of Defense right now, and he was speaking to the president at some rally or something, and basically he told him that the military has his back. And if you look at what's going on, typically the things that our president has been doing, they would have taken them out a long time ago. And I believe they've tried. There's some stories about helicopters that were transporting him or his family that had major mechanical issues to the point where they barely made it back to the base or whatever. Of course, you won't see that in the mainstream media or anything, but I think President Trump, in his God-given wisdom, realized that these Secret Service, there's those within there that have been infiltrated by the enemy, and typically they're the ones that are in collusion with the ones that come only to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's put ex-military, Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, things like that, them in positions of protection for him. And then the fact that there's 40,000 sealed indictments right now, and supposedly these military tribunal courts that are being set up, to me that's encouraging. I actually read some articles that some of the things that are being exposed within the Roman Catholic Church are results of these inquiries and the Trump administration exposing pedophilia, child trafficking, child sacrifice, and what happened in Pennsylvania. And, supposedly there's just like a nationwide sting that's going on to try to rid the world, if you will, of these people who are evil, point-blank evil. And they've got away with it for so long because the highest levels of law enforcement, the CIA, the FBI, police chiefs, mayors, governors, all of this, they're all involved in this stuff because they're sick. And, I really believe if we keep praying like we've been praying, that those things in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops, then that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, the other thing is, we all know the whack the dog theory or method that they use. And before they allow this entire Antichrist globalist ship to go down, there's no doubt that they'll try to perpetrate some sort of a major event, possibly even war. Paul probably talked about before about what's going on in Syria again right now. I mean, there's Russian warships there, there's U.S. warships there, and basically the threats of chemical attacks again, which I think are staged just to try to start the war. But anyways, I think if we lob in a bunch more Tomahawk missiles into Syria with Russian troops present and we kill Russian troops, then I don't think Putin's going to turn the other cheek the next time. What do you think, Paul?
Well, God's hand is on this whole thing. There's rumors of wars and rumors of wars, what's going on. And the only reason it looks to me like anybody hit the wrong button, it all go. But it's not going.
I
think we're watching Babylon fall. I've been waiting this a long time, and I'm really happy. And not only that, as this stuff happens, it brings us closer to the Lord, because you can't trust the news media. People are getting a hold of that. And, yeah, where are you going to turn? You really can't trust your preacher. He didn't tell you nothing. That's the shoes I'm in, and I have to run into Pastor Peters. But I was looking, and that's why God directed me there. But the people have to be looking for the truth, and I don't see that very much, you know. And then I was talking to a man the other day. I says, they're just sheep. And I says, the problem I have to do, I have to have that compassion, know that they're sheep, because I just go blow them all to crap. So, I just get frustrated with them. But I have to have that compassion. We have to put our faith in the Lord. And, this stuff is going on. And I don't pretend, I talk to Pastor Peters regularly, and one thing I weekly told him, curse the man that trusteth in man.
Amen.
Just recently I read, you don't trust in your horse. I was just thinking of that when you talked about it. You don't trust in your might. It's of the Lord is what you do. And it's, you don't have stored food and ammunition. You're not going to get out of it this way. They're not for both of them, but that's not how we're getting out. It's with the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen to that as well.
Putting us to a place where nothing but Jesus Christ is going to deliver us.
Amen. Amen. It is encouraging to me to see like this Tony Perkins telling people to pray and encouraging people, but you're absolutely right, Paul. The people need to hear the truth. They need to hear the law. They've been hearing these that verse I read in Matthew earlier, it comes right after, you know, the warning to beware of the false wolves in sheep's clothing. And that is what has taken over the seminaries and the majority of pulpits in the church today. It's encouraging that Brother Zach is back in a little church, and we know he's bringing truth. And that is happening here and there. Not all over, but in some places. And that truth is being proclaimed. And you know, like we've talked with Brother Zach, it's hard for the people. The people are not used to that. They're used to this, you know, this mamby-pamby spoon-fed, this milk and pablum. And then when they get some meat of the word, it chokes them, and they don't know what to do with it. That's one of the reasons we have to continue to pray. You know, Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. If there were any righteous there, well, certainly we still have some that are righteous in this land. And Remnant, that's where we need to be praying. We need to be a praying people. He prayed for those sinners.
Well, we need to talk about that rally with 20,000 people. That's America crying out.
It is.
Now, they don't really know what they're crying for, but they're crying out for something, and they're looking for a man, a leader.
Amen.
Is what they're looking. You know, and I had never cared for Trump. I didn't vote for him. I never voted in 30-some years, but my wife said I about could have tipped me over. And I do believe that's the first election that has not been rigged in a long, long time. And he is God's man. But don't we all have our personal responsibilities, and curse
absolutely
the man that trusteth the man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we're kind of
sad. He's not a saint.
Not at all.
Saint, he's a warrior. And, you know, but I think the election was rigged, Paul. I think that they rigged it to the point where they were comfortable that they were going to win. And in the physical realm, they would have won. But in the spiritual realm, there was enough people following 2 Chronicles 7:14, when my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He heard those prayers. And in the spiritual realm, he delivered the victory. That's why the enemy still can't figure out how they lost. They had cheated enough. They had registered enough illegal aliens. They had rigged enough machines. They had done enough in the physical realm to win, and they still can't figure out why Hillary Clinton is not president of the United States, and it drives them absolutely crazy.
Well, it was spiritually unrigged, so don't worry about it.
Amen.
Absolutely. Amen.
Amen.
Brother.
And that was because of the prayer. And the brother that called in asking about David and Bathsheba and that, it's 2 Samuel. I'd encourage you to read 2 Samuel 11 and 12 is where you'll see it. And also, if you look at the story of David, that was what the caller had asked about, before Bathsheba and the great victories and the kindness he had and the defeats that he had over, 2 Samuel 8, verse 13. David made a name for himself when he returned from killing 18,000 Arameans or whatever, you know. And this 2 Samuel 11 and 12 is a change. And so his sin, he was forgiven. It says here, where was it, in 2 Samuel 12, you know, the penalty, the sword will never depart from your house. I'll rise up, Lord says, I will raise up evil against you from your own household. But David repented. He said, I've sinned. He confessed his sin and he repented. And Nathan said, the Lord has also taken away your sin. You shall not die. But there were still penalties. There were still penalties. And so he was forgiven, but there's still the physical ramifications of sin. There is. So if you're still listening, 2 Samuel 11 and 12, and appreciate the call. Well, guys, we're just about done. Paul, thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate your comments. They're always insightful and make you think. That's right. Make you think. So they're always appreciated. And Remnant, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. We have church at the LaPorte Church of Christ in LaPorte, Colorado. And you don't have to drive to LaPorte. You can join us if you're inclined to do so at scriptures4america.org. starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. For a review of the news, we'll have a timeless pulpit truth it's described. It's timeless. It's truth straight from the scriptures. And it is needed today. John, looking forward to your live message tomorrow. And we'll have communion. We'll have some good Holy Spirit-inspired music and some fellowship. And so take some time. Take some time, remnant, away from the world to recognize our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to remember what He's done for us, to come and not forsake the assembly. And so we encourage you to do that. We're doing the best we can to give you that opportunity. But as we talked about in this program, it comes down to individual responsibility. The choice is yours. We've put the choice before you. So we hope we see you there. Well, men, thanks so much. And we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, they high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stay high. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them more,
snake hide. Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, big time.